What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Everyday Parent Podcast.
Wow, it was like sing-songy today.
Yeah, you know, just having a good time. Just in case you all were wondering, Kelly still hates cupcakes.
But not cake pops.
But not cake pops. She brought cake pops for the podcast today, and I had a cookies and cream one. I didn't even know Starbucks made cookies and cream cake pops, but it was very good.
How was it? It was good?
It was good, yeah.
Good.
So, Shane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
How are you feeling after Kelly just laughed at your technologically struggling mind?
It was hurtful. It was a little hurtful.
I mean,
I'm pushing through.
It's okay. You'll be fine. You don't feel things.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. My name is Alec, and with me, as always, are Shane and Kelly. Kelly, I've already asked Shane, but how are you doing today?
I'm all right. Not bad.
Yeah? Well, this is real dead.
That's awkward. That was so awkward. I'm great. I'm so good.
I thought you were going to follow up with
I know.
That.
You just let it hang there. If I'm not, right, if I'm not awesome, apparently you don't know what to say.
I mean.
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm actually loving the warmer weather. That's been positive.
It's like 74. It's going to be 74 degrees today. It's going to be so nice. All the windows at our house are open, which is nice, you know.
Saving money.
I mean, honest, dude, after, what was it, 3 months of like a ridiculously high electric bill, I'm good for our AC unit to not be on ever. Because, yeah, the cold weather just gouged our wallet on. Yeah, it was insane. Probably need to get more insulation.
What's the temperature in which you turn the heat on?
I don't know. This is kind of depressing. I can tolerate some pretty cold weather. Because
you're from the north.
Yeah.
What was that?
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, listen. Well, I just realized, I was like, I don't know if I want to share this. There was just one.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds more dramatic than it needs to be.
Let us hear.
It's
gonna
be a sound fight.
Let us hear it.
Okay, listen. 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 There's a lot of different things when winter there sounds like in 1902.
Cold midwinter.
In my day.
It is kind of like that though. No, my mom had died. This is gonna be depressing.
Oh my God. What? This just took a horrible turn.
This took a horrible turn.
I was just talking about temperature in your house. And we have gone a total different direction.
That's what I said. And I was like, now I can't recover from it. And it's going to be so depressing. And it's really not. It's like not that bad.
Except your mom died.
Well, no. Like, yeah, she had died in the summer. But there was also this oil spill. And my dad was a lobster. Long story short, we had a winter. And we didn't have a lot of money. And we live in Rhode Island. So I learned we just didn't have heat for a while. And so we just had so many blankets. Makes me sound so depressed. I'm laughing, not crying. But
she's
yeah, no. So
through the pain.
I learned to live in like pretty cold weather.
Okay.
And just bundle up. And we had a wood stove. So there was one winter where we just like heavily relied on our wood stove to heat our entire home. And it was, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it was so cold. I was wearing gloves to bed.
This isn't funny.
Maybe a next session we should do is on childhood trauma.
Yeah,
that should be.
You can't recover from that.
Bring the Harrises back.
So I can. I don't like. Sometimes I'm like, it feels too hot. I'd rather sleep in cold.
Yes.
I agree.
Absolutely.
With that.
Even without that story, we just prefer the cold.
So in summary, Kelly's mom died. There was an oil spill, and that all led to
the Great Depression happened.
The Great Cold.
This was also the same time Kelly found out she wasn't Italian. It was a very dark time in her life.
Timeline's a little choppy there.
The nor'easter came through.
That's so true. The blizzard was
real.
The
cold, bleak midwinter.
That's when the cat died.
The cat died
too?
I don't
even know what her subject is today.
You had a cat?
Well, have I not told the story on the podcast?
Did the cat freeze?
It's the most...
No, stop.
Oh,
stop.
My goodness.
Stop.
No, we've got to hear it now.
No.
Yes.
We've already talked about a... I think Kelly might be done.
What happened to the cat,
Listen,
Kelly?
We have rules.
This is a
we have
story.
Rules on this podcast.
I think we should tell not this story now, because the last time I told it, I was getting a haircut. My hairstyle. had to leave. Mid haircut, so I don't think I should tell it right now.
All
right.
Why did she pee? Out of fear, sadness, or laughing?
He was laughing so hard.
So you killed the cat?
No. Just Mother Nature. She was just
tune
old.
Tune into another episode.
Yeah, it's a long
story.
To
hear what happened to Kelly's cat.
God.
Now, I have no just clue how you're going to connect
week.
This.
We're going to talk about it next week.
I have no
week,
clue
everyone.
How you're going to connect this.
Anyways, we
session.
Have rules on this podcast. Oh, and because I have the relationship, Kelly, I'm going to tell you to stop talking. Because today, we're talking about rules versus relationships.
Rules versus relationships.
And honestly, this is good for anyone if we can get past Kelly killing cats in a cold. But rules versus relationships. Dude, I heard, honestly, I'm glad we're talking about this because I heard a sermon on one of my runs the other day. And the pastor was like talking about, you know, don't do what your dad. He was like, some of you guys are in here and you're just doing the same thing that your dad did. And why are you doing it? Because you had rules. You didn't have a relationship. And they're like, you hate your dad. So why are you doing the same thing that you did with that your dad did with you? And I was like, oh, that's a good kick to the midsection as someone who doesn't have kids yet. and so and then I forgot about that when we were talking about this topic today until this moment. And so how do you guys balance that? Because I very much I think we talked about it a couple episodes ago where, you know, my parents would use discipline. They would be like, oh, you know, the Lord disciplines those that he loves and all this stuff. And I'm like, cool. So I'm being disciplined to hate the Lord, like, you know, inadvertently. But how do you guys handle this balance of having rules, sticking to them, having clear expectations, but then also having the relational equity to be able to, when it is time to go, hey, expectations were missed, and because of that, here are the consequences. How do you guys handle that, I guess, in all stages? Shane, like, I know you've got older kids, so it's a little bit easier to have conversation, but Kelly, how have you and Mark handled that, even with your kids being at a younger stage in life?
Yeah, I grew up in a house where, like, I feel like discipline was a lot of, like, yelling at us, and I did not want to raise my kids in a home where we yelled a lot. However, the default of my early parenting was, like, oh, I was yelling a lot because that's what I knew. And I did not want to, like, repeat the same patterns of my parents, even though they were great parents and I knew that they loved me. But I think that when we discipline our kids, it's a huge opportunity to model the forgiveness and restoration piece of the gospel. And what I mean by that is when I actually take the time to talk to my kids in those moments of discipline, I'm able to really, like, engage with their heart, like, and get to, like, the motive of, like, why are we struggling with this, like, disobedience, disrespect, whatever it is.
Right.
Versus sometimes when I'm just focused on, like, behavior modification, or I'm focused just, like, on the gut reaction in the moment, my discipline in my parenting, I think, is not as ideal or as great, because I'm more just like, okay, knock it off. That's not helpful. Stop being rude to your brother. Versus, like, stepping back and trying to figure out, like, okay, well, what's really going on? Like, get to the root of the issue. And then I think always bringing it back to, like, we're all sinners. Like, you know, my 3-year-old right now is lying like crazy. And the other day I looked at
her coffee
about so many things. And I looked at her and I was like, Nora, lying is a sin. Like, when you lie, it hurts God and it hurts you. And her little wide eyes just kind of stared at me and she just stopped. And I mean, I don't really know what got through to her, if I'm being honest. But it's like you're introducing, like, hey, there's consequences and ramifications outside of just, hey, this isn't okay.
Right.
But now I'm having an opportunity to teach my kids, yes, this is sin, separating us from God. It's hurting our relationship with the Lord. But also, hey, Jesus loves you. He came to rescue you, to set you free from sin, to forgive you. And so I think just opportunities to model that forgiveness and restoration piece and discipline.
I think, first of all, is I don't think it's rules versus relationship. I think it's rules and relationship. But here's the other side of that. When they are younger, when they are not necessarily at the point where they understand some of the things that why we do things, and it has to be rules. Right. It has to be for their protection, for their, you know, and now it's, you know, our role changes as a parent the older our kids get. You know, we move from, hey, it has to be this way, to then we move to that coaching phase, to where then we move as to an advisor phase. But through that, you're building that relationship. And I grew up in a home. It sounds like a little bit like Kelly's, where there was a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
And I mimicked a lot of that. I still work through that. I still, you know, there's still times where, you know, Crew, my youngest, a middle schooler, there's times where I go, hey, we're not talking about this anymore. Well, Dad, let me just say one more. You know, will you just listen to me? I'm like, no, this is the conversation we've talked about this. You don't like the answer, and so here's what we're doing, and so there's this balance that you have to have,
right,
as you go through the different stages. You know, at first it has to be heavy rules for their protection,
right,
because they don't know any better. Mm-hmm. You know, a 2-year-old running out in the street has no clue, even when you grab them, even when you go, you could have died.
Right.
They don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it has to be rules. But as they get older, there are moments like Kelly's talking about where you have to explain. And there are moments even early, you know, in that 3, 4, 5-year-old where they may not understand,
mm-hmm.
but you're setting the groundwork. You're setting the solid foundation for them to see God's love and see.
Right.
And so for me, there's a lot of times because I probably get hot tempered and very quickly,
yeah,
where I have to get away from them, because
mm-hmm.
in the moment, if I try to teach them in the moment,
yeah,
it's probably going to come across angry. So I have to come back to them later and have that second conversation of, here's why,
right,
this is happening. Here's why the consequences are this. Here's why, but also, I still love you.
Right.
You can't out mess up my love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, but I've also had those conversations where I go, I don't like you right now.
Right.
I love you, but I don't like you right now.
Right.
And so let's.
Oh, yeah.
Cool off and then come back together and have this conversation.
I think becoming a parent totally shifted my perspective on even the Lord's discipline in my life. Because it's like, I love my kids so much. But there are also times where I'm like, man, disciplining you is exhausting. Like, I don't want to do this,
right,
but you continue to make the same foolish decisions. So I have to intervene. Like, there has to be consequences for your actions.
Right.
And there are rules. Like, the running to the street thing is an actual example I've used with my kids, because they're always wanting to run across the street to the neighbors, where I'm like, when I call your name, I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
You need to stop. And you need to look at me.
Yeah.
Like, I need to hear, like, yes, mom, or like, yes, ma'am. Like, you have to, because I'm like, I am trying to protect you.
Right.
And, you know, they don't get it at their stage. They're just like, well, I just want to, like, keep, you know, coloring in my book or doing, right, whatever. So I think as your kids get older, helping them understand the why behind some of your rules,
right,
I think is key. Because, Lord willing, they'll hopefully, they may not fully agree at all.
Right.
They may not even understand at this stage, but eventually, like, I don't know about you guys, but I look back at some of the rules I had growing up, and I hated them,
yeah,
as a kid. But now that I'm an adult, I'm super thankful for some of the rules that my dad had in place, because I now understand that he was trying to develop my character.
Right.
We talked about this last night with technology in our parenting class, and one of the rules in our house is no phones in your bedroom, no phones in the bathroom. And Cutter constantly pushes against that, and he goes, I don't understand why. I don't understand why. And we've sat down and had the conversation why. And we're almost to the point where I'm like, no, it's not that you don't understand. You don't like it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand, because we've explained to you why. We've had this conversation. And so that, you know, the tough thing for parents in the whole rules versus relationship is consistency.
Mm.
That is, I think, well, let me see. For me,
mm-hmm.
that's probably one of the toughest things, because it's like you said, you get to a point where you're exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
From, right, discipline. You're exhausted from saying no. And I mean, there was truly a point where I looked at Kristen when Carson was in middle school and Carson was in high school, Cutter was in middle school, Crew was in elementary, where I looked at her and I said, I feel like I say no all the time. And I, like, one of my New Year's resolutions was to say yes more to my kids.
Mm.
And not because I want to say yes to the bad things they're doing, but I want to find yeses mm-hmm. that will help them understand my love for them and my desire is the best for them and all those things. And that was a tough season because, I mean, it was just Carson was pushing limits on things. Cutter was, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with being a sixth grader and having to deal with guys in the locker room and stuff like this. And there was just all these things. And I just kept going. I was like, I feel like the worst parent in the world because all that comes out of my mouth is no. So literally, I that was the New Year's resolution I made. I said, all right, I need to find things I can say yes to
right.
so I'm not constantly saying no. So it doesn't become legalist. So mm-hmm. it doesn't become, well, I'm not going to ask Dad, I'm going to ask Mom. Those type
oh,
of things.
Oh, goodness. That's like a whole nother topic. It's like when you and your spouse are either on different pages, or sometimes it's not even that you're in disagreement on how to discipline. It's that you haven't had a chance to communicate on it yet. Like my kids are, oh, they're so clever sometimes. They'll come up to me and they'll be like, Daddy said I could do this. And I don't think, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I'm starting to like let them do the thing. And I stop, I go, wait, Daddy says you could, like, and then I'll be like, Mark, where are you? And I like, and he's like, I didn't say that. And so we're already finding that they're trying to like pin us against each other in like bizarre ways of like, Dad said I could watch a movie or Dad said I could go to the friend's house. And I'm like, really? So I think it's even like communicating, if you're married, like communicating with your spouse, getting on the same page. And that can be really difficult for like split families yeah. or like single parent households where all the discipline is maybe falling on you. Or, you know, if you got, you know, if you're divorced and you have kids going back and forth between two homes and two sets of rules,
yeah.
that gets really, really difficult when you're trying to enforce something that maybe at a different home is permissible.
That is, you know, I've written about this and I think we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast. I think that role that has to take on all the roles mm-hmm. is one of the toughest in the world today. To be a single mom or a single dad, or even, like you said, even in a divorce home, it's so tough because you feel like the weight of the world is on you. Mm-hmm. And then you're constantly, if it's a divorce situation, you're not just fighting your kids on stuff, you're fighting mm-hmm. your ex. And it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine it.
Yeah. So how do you guys fight the feeling like a failure, or Shane, kind of what you were talking about of like always feeling like you're saying no, fighting for consistency and that discipline of staying consistent and things like that? Because like, I mean, we have a cat and the cat's an idiot. And like having to, like we will spray her when she does, like we don't want her on the counters. And so she gets on the counter, we spray her. And I get to the point where I'm like, I don't want to do this because I know you can just tell this animal hates it. And it's like, I don't want to make you angry. But like, we have rules because like food is on the counter. I don't want your dirty cat litter ridden paws all over the counter. And so, but you know, I'm like, I've told Lyndon, I was like, if this is how I feel with a cat, how am I going to feel with a kid? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how do you guys fight that feeling, that inner conflict through these moments where rules and relationships and you're fighting legalism and different things like that? Like, how do you guys work through that individually, but then maybe with your spouses as well?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have a lot of days where I just feel like I suck as a parent, if I'm being honest. Or you have those moments where you're like, I blew it. Like, I yelled at my kid. That's not the mom I want to be.
Yeah.
And I think what I have done is, I mean, I just like literally just go to Jesus and I'm just like, like, you know, you got to repent. But I think the other piece is I like tell my kids when I've messed up because I want them to understand that I also am human. I also make mistakes and I don't want to yell at you either. And so yeah. I'll apologize to them and I'll just be like, I'm really sorry. Like, I got super upset. I shouldn't have reacted that way. And I'm sorry. And it's these really sweet, tender moments where they'll like give me a hug and they'll be like, it's okay, Mom. Like, and they're so forgiving. And then I think like with Mark and I can be, I don't know if you guys have ever noticed about me, but I can get really passionate at times about stuff. So just imagine what that is like living with.
Like cold cats.
But what?
Cold cats.
Oh.
Not now. Don't bring it back up.
Okay. Anyway. So I think Mark and I kind of have like this unspoken system of like, we'll tap out. Like if one of us is like on the brink of, you know, like when you're just in the heat of like discipline or like the kids are driving you crazy, we kind of will like either look at each other or we'll literally be like, I have to tap out right now because I don't want to be the parent that I don't want to be. And so I think just like having each other's back and like always being on the same page. And I think for us, what's sometimes been difficult with like one of our kids in particular who has special needs is we sometimes have really different views on how to discipline him. Like that's probably one of our biggest parenting disagreements is like how we discipline that specific kid. And so we've had to wrestle through like, if one of us is doing something that the other does not like or doesn't understand, like that's a conversation we've got to have not in front of the kids.
Yes.
Because that does not, it just never ends well. You always have to be like supportive, I think, of your partner and then have those conversations away from the kids and just be honest about it, I think is, and like look in the mirror. Like, you know, like before you start poking at things in maybe how you think your spouse parents, I think you have to first examine your heart and always approach your spouse in a lot of humility and a lot of love and a lot of respect.
Yeah.
I think for me, there's a lot of times where once I've stepped away, God uses that instance in my life to show me flaws in my life.
Yeah.
And just reminders of, you know, I'll be venting to God and I can't believe they did this. I can't believe it. And God will go, hey, bud, that's you to me. And not in a bad way, but in a way of, he reminds me of his grace and his forgiveness and his mercy. And so then I have to go back and try to have that conversation, of, hey, I messed up. I shouldn't have dealt with it this way. There's still consequences, but I need to fix how I did this or change how I did this. And so I think there's a lot of times where God just, in his grace, shows me, hey, this is, you know, this is where you're at and this is where you're trying to get to, and it's a journey. And so I think for me, those are those moments where I go, okay, I need to fix this and understand this and then move on. But it's, there's a constant, I think one of the worst things parents do is compare themselves. Compare themselves, whether it's through social media or through, you know, we had a mom just last night who's a single mom who goes, I feel like a failure when I'm in this class, just because she hears parents who are trying things and doing things, and she compares herself instead of, here's where I'm at right now, and I'm doing my best and leaning into God for direction, for guidance, and all those different things. And so it's when we start to compare is when you could go down a very deep hole of bad parenting, and then what you end up doing is you end up overcorrecting and allowing things to happen and allowing your kids to do things that you should not, because you think, well, I've got to make up for my bad mistakes here, my bad mistakes there. And so that's not a good place to be.
Yeah. I always say like comparison will kill your contentment. And so I think when you are a parent and you're really seeking the Lord, it's like, what are the decisions that you need to make for your specific family? And then even a step further, like the way that you discipline each kid can look so different. Like I think once I had multiple kids, I was like, oh, I thought we figured this out. Like the first one, you're like, oh, this discipline, like this works. And then you have another and you're like, oh, is it a completely different personality type? Great. So you have to relearn each kid and like what's going to work for them.
I think Jim Gaffigan has a great example, but he talks about how parenting is like you're drowning.
Oh yeah, and then they just hand you another baby.
And then someone hands you another baby.
You're like, oh, you already felt like you were suffocating and not living up to anyone's expectations, including your own.
Yes.
Here, just raise another human.
Here's another human being.
Here you go.
And so it is. It does feel like that at times.
Mm. Oh, that's good. And like honestly, this was something that I think. This conversation is probably, if I'm being honest, and I've told Lyndon this, one of my biggest fears when it comes to parenting is that, because I think it was in the disciplinary moments where I saw the worst in my parents. And when I think of the worst in my parents, it all goes back to these moments of discipline. And so I'm like, I refuse for our kids to see me in that same light. And, you know, again, it's dumb, but the cat has like done a lot to show me when it comes to discipline of like, I have room to grow to where like I'm not. Because I also grew up in a yelling household, or household, and which it'll be interesting because Lyndon grew up in a we're avoiding each other household, and so it's like we both came from two unhealthy forms of conflict management, and so it's gonna be really interesting when a kid enters the picture. So not soon, not now. Don't worry.
Are you ready to make that announcement?
Nope.
All right, just checking. Just checking.
Anyways, Shane, Kelly, thank you guys for being on today. And if you guys are listening and you want to join the conversation, text PARENT to 98173. That's PARENT to 98173. You'll get a form where you can ask your questions because we want to hear what you want to talk about. And you can head to longhollow.com/PARENT to find all of our resources on our resource page. And so with that, Shane, Kelly, thank you guys, and we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.